Chapter 17. Ferris stood for a moment in the neat little pathway, striving to grasp the finality of his situation. But nothing would come except awareness of many men around him. His mind was like a log drifting along a stream at night. Through that darkness grew a consciousness of something wrong. The wrongness was there in the back of his mind as he turned leftward to go to the front of the weapon shop. Vagueness transformed to a startled sense of shock. For he was not in Glay, and the weapon shop was not where it had been. A dozen men brushed past Farah to join a long line of men farther along. But Farah was immune to their presence, their strangeness. His mind, his vision, his very being was concentrating on the section of machine that stood where the weapon shop had been. His brain lifted up, up in his effort to grasp the tremendousness of the dull metal immensity of what was spread here under a summer sun beneath a sky as blue as a remote southern sea. The machine towered into the heavens, five great tiers of metal, each 100 feet high, and a superbly streamlined 500 feet ended in a peak of light, a spire that tilted straight up a sheer 200 feet farther and matched the sun for brightness. And it was a machine, not a building, because the whole lower tier was alive with shimmering lights, mostly green, but sprinkled colorfully with red and occasionally blue and yellow. Twice, as Farah watched, green lights directly in front of him flashed unscintillatingly into red. The second tier glowed with white and red lights, although there were only a fraction as many lights as on the lowest tier. The third section had on its dull metal surface lights of blue and yellow. They twinkled softly here and there over the vast area. The fourth tier was a series of signs that brought the beginning of comprehension. The whole sign was white, births, red, deaths, green, living, blue, immigration to Earth, yellow, emigration. The fifth tier was all sign, finally explaining, solar system, 11,474,463,747. Earth, 11,193,247,361. Mars, 97,298,604. Venus, 141,053,811. Moons, 42,863,971. The numbers changed even as he looked at them, leaping up and down, shifting below and above what they had first been. People were dying, being born, moving to Mars, to Venus, to the moons of Jupiter, to Earth's moon, and others coming back again, landing minute by minute in the scores of spaceports. Life went on in its gigantic fashion, and here was the record. "Better get in line," said a friendly voice beside Farah. "It takes quite a while to put through an individual case, I understand." Farah stared at the man. He had the impression of having had senseless words flung at him. "In line?" he started, then stopped himself with a jerk that hurt his throat. He was moving forward blindly, ahead of the younger man, thinking a jumble about this having been the way that Constable Jor was transported to Mars, when another of the man's word penetrated. "Case?" said Farah violently. "Individual case?" The man, a heavy-faced, blue-eyed young chap of around 35, looked at him curiously. "You must know why you're here," he said. "Surely you wouldn't have been sent through here unless you had a problem of some kind that the weapon shop course will solve for you. There's no other reason for coming to Information Center." Farah walked on because he was in the line now, a fast-moving line that curved him inexorably around the machine and seemed to be heading him toward a door that led to the interior of the great metal structure. So it was a building as well as a machine. A problem, he was thinking. Why, of course he had a problem. A hopeless, insoluble, completely tangled problem, so deeply rooted in the basic structure of imperial civilization that the whole world would have to be overturned to make it right. With a start, he saw that he was at the entrance. He thought with awe. In seconds, he could be committed irrevocably. To what?